Okay. We're on page, in my Svard, page 33, beginning the section called the offerings. So I asked you to bring some pen and paper because we're going to be going through a little bit. We're not going to go through word for word here at this point. I want to talk more about prayer in general because we're getting close to the high holidays. And so this way, people have more of a connection with the prayer itself. So in my Svard, it's on page 33. In bold, in the middle, it says the offerings. So it's probably a page or two off. I think probably 31 or so in the Ashkenaz. Until this point, until where we are right now, this last segment, the last 1 to 2.5 pages, are really something that should be said every, I mean, they're the blessings, which we started. Remember the 15 blessings? We had the 15 blessings. And then we have, so 1 second, Brian. I'm just going to give you a co-host, please. Thanks. Right. So the 15 blessings, and I sent this, and I can post it. I sort of made my own little version of it because I took out where it has Hashem's actual name in case you're at a place where you're not sure if you can daven or whatever it is. So I rewrote it and I took the odd translation change from the art scroll. And I made my own PDF, and I will share that with the group. Yeah, prayer for all. I will share with my center chat. Okay. I think it's only one page. Is it only one page? Or is it on 2 pages? It's on one page. I fit it all on one page. So I probably. Anyway. That's sort of my version, if you like, of the morning prayers. That's sort of like a putting it all together. But no question that if you have the ability, the morning prayers that we've been learning until now, they're a good thing to say. So on page 33, or on page, I guess, in the Ashkenaz 31, begins a section called the offering. So if you have pen and paper, I'm now going to talk about prayer because I'm not going to go through the offerings specifically. So once again, what we talked about in our intro is that prayer is a reflection of the service that took place in the temple. We had a temple, first temple, second temple, the traveling tabernacle in the desert, whatever it was. When we had a Hashem's house, a house for God on the planet. The last one was the temple behind the Western Wall. Then they used to bring sacrifices. So the prayers, a lot have to do with the reflection of the sacrifices or the offerings. So this next segment that I'm just talking and letting you know what they are about. They are the words of the Torah, beginning on page 31 or 33, the offerings. And they will now talk about what was the exact procedure for the various offerings. There was an offering, you have to wash your hands. The beginning is that you have to wash your hands in the beginning. If you take a look at the note beneath the line, again, I don't have my Ashkenaz here, so I don't know which side it's on, but beneath the line, you'll have the laver. That's a good translation for a wash basin. A laver is like a wash basin. Before the Kohanim could begin the temple service, they had to take sanctified water and pour it over their hands and feet. And that's what they did. And which is why you might find in shul that people, when they go to shul, there's a basin, there's an area people wash their hands before you start davening. So you wash your hands, And that's what this first goes through, this first paragraph. Turning the page, then you have the taking of the ashes. The taking of the ashes was that, again, it's in the notes in the bottom, but I'll just say quickly, is that when a sacrifice was burned, when an animal was burned, when you burn something, it leaves ashes. So you had to remove, there's a buildup of ashes. So you had to clean the ashes. You had to clean up from the mess. So there was a service of how we did that, where the ashes get put. Next we have, and I'm just, if you take, and the English, they have like paragraph titles. So I'm just going by the titles. The taking of ashes. The next paragraph is the tamid offering. So the tamid offering, the word tamid means constantly, always. And which means that there was a sacrifice that was brought every single day in the temple, once in the morning, once in the afternoon. And it is these sacrifices that our prayers correlate to. Our morning service, shacharit, corresponds to the morning tamid offering. And the mincha, the afternoon service, corresponds to the afternoon tamid offering. So this tamid offering and how it's done is in that paragraph of the tamid offering.
What does that mean, tamid?
Means consistently, all the time, every day.
Okay, thank
Shabbos,
you.
Yom Tif, Yom Kippur, Tisha B'Av, makes no difference, every day.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Then the next, you turn the page, then you'll have the incense. Again, yeah, yes, incense was part of our Jewish service as well. And if you take a look at the note beneath the line, incense blended according to a strictly prescribed formula was burned in the temple on the golden altar, again, morning and evening. And it becomes Kabbalistic whether you say it, you don't say it, some people say it, some people don't say it, but the next little bit becomes the procedure of, we're talking about the incense. Okay? You turn a couple of pages, you turn a few pages, there's the Arna B'Koach, which is also another Kabbalistic prayer. Mine is page 43, and the Ashkenaz, I assume, is page 41. It was written by Rav Nechunya ben Hakana, contains 42 words. The initials of the 42 words are all mystical and whatever. That's why there's sort of like an acronym on the left side of the page where it sort of gives you the first of each, not getting into any of the mystical part of it now. But each line, each of the seven lines, has certain Kabbalistic references. I will tell you, I'll share this. The Chai Center, we have, you know, everybody knows, we have our burial plot. We have a section in the cemetery. So I went around with a minion, and we went around and we sanctified our section of the cemetery. There are special prayers. You walk around, and every time you walk around, there's certain things that you do. Not for now. Those who were there were there. And at the end of the circuit, of each circuit, we say one of these phrases from this Ana B'Koach, which each phrase, like I said, references a certain name of God. Again, like I said, just keeping it light. And so it is a rather special prayer. After the Ana B'Koach, yes, I was waiting for somebody to ask, it does correlate with the seven circuits that we have on the holiday of Sukkot, or the 7 days of Sukkot, where each day there's one circuit, and on Simchas Torah we go, on our Shana Rabbah we make 7 circuits, and then, yes, not for now. I can tell Yo David is like, oh, tell me more. No, not for now. Then the end of this morning segment, the segment which we will take until I have it on page for yes, Leo David.
I happen to have done a lot of research in the Ta'anah V'Koyach because it always bothered me that it told me to look at the acronyms and not to say them, and it doesn't say why. So the simplest answer that I've come up with is that it's another name of Hashem that helps bring the tefillahs upwards.
That's correct.
So that's very simple. That's all.
That's correct. Very good. That's what I'd like to say. That's what I like you to do. I'm happy you said that. Perfect. So I'm on page 53. The Ashkenaz might be page 51. In the paragraph, I'm not sure where it'll be on your page. But it begins with the words, Rabbi Yishmael says. Now, very often in the when we study, I will make reference to how the code of the Torah, that the written Torah is written in code form, in shorthand. In other words, the expression I used is the analogy I use is someone is giving a speech and you have your cue cards, and on your cue cards, you know, you are welcome. And then you elaborate, you know, just as maybe one word, right? Whatever it is, you elaborate, you have your little shorthand, your own notations that you use. And maybe at one point you will just have a symbol. You'll put an X with a question mark. Somebody else will look at it and go, what's the X and a question mark? That's for me, for my speech. I know exactly what an X and a question mark is. Maybe it's to remind me that there's some people that I'm not supposed to welcome. So after the welcome, I may have an X with a question mark. Remember, check to make sure that so-and-so is not here because you don't want to make reference to us. Whatever symbol, but a person makes their own symbols, but I know the decipher. So every so often, you may need like star at the bottom. What does X with a question mark mean? Oh, there's a star. But the written Torah doesn't have, in the Torah scroll, there are no stars on there. Because the Torah was given in two formats. It was given part written and the explanation of what the written, because the written makes no sense. It's in X question mark. So how do we decipher the codes? So there's 13, actually 15, but Rabbi Yishmael mentions the 13 basic principles that, or rules that we use when we read the Torah. Now, this is all in the Talmud. This is how we extrapolate the law of what the final law is. The Torah says, sit in a sukkah. What's a sukkah? I have to extrapolate from how many times the word sukkah is written, how it's written, where it's written, and use various principles. And here are the 13, and they're listed here in the Siddur. You can read them at your leisure. 13 principles, what we use to decipher, extrapolate, whatever word you want to use, the written Torah. And even then, the Talmud, right? We have a Talmud that goes through it in depth and why sometimes it does apply, why sometimes somebody else might come, no, but it doesn't apply in this case. You know, and so there still are other sort of laws about it, but these are the basic 13 principles. So in the note beneath the line where it says Rabbi Yishmael, again, I'm not sure if in your, in the Ashkenaz, which for me, in my Sfarad, I'm on page 52 beneath the line. You're probably on 51 or 50, something like that. Rabbi Yishmael, as noted above, the sages preface Shacharis with the selections from Scripture, Mishnah, and Gemara. Okay, let me skip that first paragraph, the second paragraph. This particular brisa, or like words of the Mishnah, is the introduction to a midrashic work that exhaustively interprets the book Sifra of Leviticus. Since most of Sifra is halachic nature, where it says the 13 rules. So just if you want to read on yourself, here it goes through and we'll explain the 13 rules. So let's just take the first one. We'll give you an example. Rule number one, in Hebrew, it's two words, it's called kal v'chomer. And it says in English, logic dictates that if a lenient case has a stringency, the same stringency applies to a stricter case. Another way of putting it is that laws can be derived from less obvious situations and applied to more obvious ones. For example, if it is forbidden to pluck an apple from a tree on festivals, when cooking and preparing food is normally allowed, then surely plucking is forbidden on Shabbos when cooking is forbidden. So you have something that you find a stringency by something that's lenient, and we therefore apply this stringency by something that's more strict. So if something is forbidden on the Yom Tov, for sure it's forbidden on Shabbos. There are things that are permissible on Yom Tov that are forbidden on Shabbos. I can cook on Yom Tov. But if something is still forbidden on Yom Tov, even though Yom Tov is more lenient than Shabbos, for sure it's forbidden on Shabbos. That's called kal, which means light, chomer, more strict. And that's very often you find in the Torah, the Talmud shows you where you apply this principle to, where it is applicable. To so many laws, this law of kal v'chomer, we learn so much from it. Let's look at number four. Let's go to number four. Number four in Hebrew says klal uprat. When a generality is followed by a specific, I'll give you an example in a minute. The law is applied only to the specific. For example, in listing the animals from which sacrificial offerings may be brought, the Torah says, from the domestic animals, from the cattle, and the sheep. This rule teaches that no animals but cattle and sheep may be used. Because first there's a general, because it says, from the domestic animals. Well, why'd you just tell, if it's only cattle and sheep, tell me cattle and sheep. So if the Torah would have said domestic animals, I would have thought all domestic animals. No. So the Torah has to say just this. In such cases, the generality is mentioned only to teach that no part of the species is included in the law except for the specified items. So in other words, it has to be exact. If it's male, it's male. If it's female, this part, that part, whatever it is. So again, just showing you, and the Torah does this very often. Very often the Torah will give something, use a general for all types of work you can't do on Shabbos. Don't make a fire on Shabbos. You just told me all kinds of work. Now you're telling me a fire? So very often the Torah goes through and makes a general statement, and then the Torah becomes specific. And then the Talmud learns from it why the Torah did that. And the Torah did that for a specific reason. And we learn from it. And this is the principle that we learn from that kind of a general specific. And if you take a look at number five, it gets even more complicated. In number five, where's the five? Oops, I skipped the page. No, I went to the other side. Number five is the reverse. You have the specific and then the general. Sometimes the Torah does it that way. For example, his donkey, his garment, and anything else. If you find on the street your brother's donkey or his garment or anything else that he lost, I want you to just tell me. If you find anything of your brother's that he lost, there's a reason for it, and the Talmud uses that to teach us something. Number six is even more complicated. You have a generality, a specific, and another generality. And the Torah does this. And the Torah very often, again, not very often, less often, but certainly numerous times, says something in general, all of the, and even this and that, and everything else. Why does the Torah do that? Again, it's not meant to be a Talmud shiur. This is, you can read the rest, all the little nitty-gritty on your own, but these are the 13 principles that that we expound the written Torah with to get us the Talmud. So the Talmud is full of the application of these 13 principles. Plus, like I said, so there's some others. There's Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, whatever, but of the that's not in the written Torah itself. Okay, so until page, and then there's a Kaddish on page 55, again in mine, probably 51. So if you take a look at, on me, on page 61, on yours, probably page 59 or so, in bold, in the English, it will say in bold, Pesukei Dezimra, which is actually Aramaic for Pesukei, verses of song, Zimra, in the word Zemer in Hebrew, which is song, verses of song. Hopefully everybody is following along on the page numbers that I'm giving. Beneath the line where it begins the section that says Pesukei Dezimra, it says as follows. The sages taught that one should set forth the praises of Hashem before making requests. In this section of Shachris, Shachris is the morning service, we concentrate on Hashem's revelation and in nature and history, on how his glory can be seen in creation and in the unfolding of events. So, we have questions for Hashem. Baruch, I'll get to you in a second. We have questions for Hashem. We have requests for Hashem. Oh, you can keep your hand up. So God, that's what I remember. We want to make Hashem. I need a house. I want to go to Israel with the rabbi. I want to go on the trip. I need some help getting, or I'm not going because for whatever reason I can't go, but I need help finding somebody because the rabbi asked me to find somebody. So Hashem, can you help me? I have a request anytime, or someone is not well. I'd like to pray for them. Can you just get up and pray? Yes. But in the morning service, what we like to do is we like to start with verses of song just to become happier. It's just that I walk into, oh, I haven't had my coffee this morning. I'm a little grumpy this morning. Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, whatever. Yeah. People walk into shul that way, unfortunately. So these verses, this first segment, whole long segment, of various verses, mostly from from Psalms, from King David, mostly. It opens with a blessing, ends with a blessing. Pesukei Dezimra means, it actually tells you the next words in the English, but if you want to write it down in your Siddur, right where it says those words in bold on top, verses of song. And that's just to get us into a praises of Hashem. Before I come to God and make my requests of Hashem, I should sing Hashem's praises. I don't actually sing it. We say it, but when we say it, if one thinks of what it is that they're saying, what's the translation of the words that they're saying, they'll see it's praises of Hashem. The whole thing, the Ashrei and Baruch Shomer, all the various things are praises of Hashem. And that is so that now that I finally, when I finish this introductory section of the praises of Hashem, now I'd like to make It's like when you if you get invited to the to the prime minister or the president's residence, or even on a simple level, if you're going to be staying in someone's home, you're going to stay in someone's home. I was in California when I was just in Los Angeles last week, so or 2 weeks, whatever it was. So we stayed. My brother-in-law put us up by somebody local. So we came in with a gift. So the first thing we did was before we unpack, before where's my room and blah 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 blah. Thank you so much for having us. Here's a gift. So we walked in. It's good because it makes the people feel a little bit, it's a menschlich. It's a nice thing to do. It's a nice gesture, and it makes people feel at ease anytime. So that's almost like words of praise. Not that Hashem needs my words of praise. We should not get confused with that. Hashem has no needs, but that it's something that's right for me to do. The gift that I gave to the host where we stayed. They needed my gift. They needed my box of chocolates. They could buy their own box of chocolates. They could buy, whatever it is that actually we got them. It was actually a very cute gift. We always try and think, what wouldn't that person have? If we stay by the person more than once, did we give that to them already? You gotta keep track. But the point is that it's when you start, when you walk in, you want to just, this is my introduction. Hi, how are you? That's somebody who, I wouldn't say it's a bribe, that's already becoming cute. But we had somebody who actually was originally from Montreal, so my wife knew him from Montreal. He moved to Israel, and his brother has a yeshiva, and his job is he helps his brother by once a year. He goes around the world basically collecting for his brother's yeshiva, and he stays by our house. See, our house is his, what's the word? Like his spot, his place that he uses.
His home
His home
base.
base, I guess home base, right? His home base that he uses. So he brings a lot of things, and he knows what what is dear to my heart. And he always brings a few things that are dear to my heart. Not that I need it, I'm fine without them. I know you're probably all wondering, what is dear to the rabbi's heart? I will tell you. I will bear the secret. The answer is Israeli pistachio nuts. Yep, straight out of the, he knows where to go, exactly which place in Geula, from Jerusalem, pistachio nuts. First of all, they're fruits from the Holy Land. Every time he eats something from the Holy Land, special. Secondly, once you try them, you'll never eat another pistachio. They're unbelievable. Anyway, so getting back to that. So it's an important thing to do. So we do the same thing with Hashem. We come into shul, we say praises of Hashem, and now that I praise Hashem, that it helps me. Why am I even asking Hashem for help? Because Hashem is so praiseworthy. Hashem can do anything. Hashem created, and we talk about the world and how the world was created. Hashem Melech, yeah, God is. Whatever it is, all various beautiful, beautiful phrases of praise that praise Hashem. And then later on, I feel more comfortable making my request. Easier for me to make it. Can I just walk up to God and say, God, I need that? Yes, of course. But I want to be a mensch. I want to do it in the right way. And that's the way, that's what, how I would appreciate if someone would do that. For me, if I answer the phone and somebody says, Rabbi, I need your help with, right? Sometimes you'll hear me say, hello, good morning, how are you? I'm fine, thank you. Like I'll say it for myself. And the person just calls up and says, I need your help with, this is a salutation. Good morning, hello, how are you? How's your morning? How's your day? I have a question for you. Can you help me with? Whole different conversation. And that's what we have in the Davin. Baruch, go ahead.
My question was just as I was following along with you when you were reading, I wanted to make sure because I have the RCIA sitter. So I just wanted to make sure what you were reading, is it the footnotes or is it part of the actual?
I only, when I actually read words was in the footnotes.
Okay, so the footnotes are totally different. No problem.
Yeah, the
We're good.
RCA might be a
Yeah.
little bit different in terms
Okay,
of
fine.
other
No problem.
footnotes.
Sure, thanks.
Leo Devin.
Yeah, so you always say that Hashem doesn't have any needs, and that's 100% true. But does Hashem have desires? He desires us to pray to him. He
No,
desires us to
he does
ask for him.
not. We've talked about this before. Hashem has no needs, has no desires. We make reference of a word that seems, from our perspective, that Hashem has no desires. Hashem is Hashem. It's
So
totally
then
so
it's,
odd.
it
We
then
can't. We cannot relate
then
to
why did he tell us
anything.
to do things?
What?
Why does he tell us to do things?
So that we can become close with him, so that we can earn a reward to become close to him
So
for our benefit, not because he has a desire. From Hashem's perspective, Hashem will return the world to Tohu v'Vohu. No problem. Hashem will still be Hashem. No
what the,
need.
that's not a threat, but okay. I just don't understand. Okay, let's
Okay.
say that there's a
In other
disconnect
words, you're
over
saying it's for us. It's not for him. He doesn't need it. It's us that needs it, not
for our
him.
benefit.
He's okay whether we're here or not.
Everything that happens in this world is for our benefit. We may not see it that way. We may not want to take it that way. I got a pain here. I got a pain there. I got my dad. I got a crack. Somebody passed away. Blah, 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 blah. Everything that happens on an individual basis is for our benefit. Yes, Tracy.
So, to use the word desire loosely, God is happiest when we do things that benefit us, that bring him closer to us.
I don't know what that means, that Hashem is happy.
No,
I don't know what that means.
not happy, but he says, like, because
Well, that's
the
what you
other
said.
thing
You
he
said
says,
Hashem is happiest.
I he in terms of, I'm using the word desiring loosely,
Yeah,
to
okay.
bring us
So
closer to
Tracy,
him.
I'm just gonna,
Okay.
well, it's whatever. We're getting into semantics and splitting hairs and
Okay.
not what I want to do. So for your notepad, the first thing is blessings. That's the first thing when we wake up in the morning. Blessings. And you'll see that in the Siddur, in the art scroll on top, it may say morning blessings. Then the next sort of segment is offerings. The next segment after offerings, and then all the offerings, is this fancy Aramaic word, Pesukei Dezimra, which really trans as we said translates as
Verses.
verses of song. Okay. And that goes on for many, many pages. And maybe at one point we will go back and individually learn inside the meaning, the actual meaning of these verses, because it's from Psalms. It's part of our books. But that will be on an individual basis. And that area, this Pesukei Dezimra, the verses of song conclude. Again, the last page for me and my Sfard is 87. Again, Ashkenaz now may be a page or two behind. The way to know that you've come to the end of it is you'll see a gray part of the you see a gray box in the middle. And the gray box is just indicating that that paragraph is said at a specific time of year. When something is grayed out in the art scroll, it means it's not said on a regular basis, but only on special times, and it tells you when. And this particular gray box is said between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So that is the end. That's how you'll know you're at the end of Pesukei Dezimra, because the next words you'll see, it's going to be bold in the middle of, for me again, I'm on page, in my Sfard is on page 89, in bold, bless Hashem the Blessed One. Which is the same words when a man gets an aliyah to his Torah at his bar mitzvah, he says the following words, Baruchu et Hashem HaMavarach, bless Hashem, the Blessed One. So this area begins the Shema and its blessings. So we now have moved away from, we finished our gifts, so to say, the morning offering. And the we use the word gifts, but or there's a psuke de zimra, the words of prayer, of song, the verses of song that we use is like a gift.
Are you saying verses of song or psalm?
S-O-N-G.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Verses of song.
That's what song I wrote down.
As opposed to they happen to be from Psalms, but they are. Yeah. Verses of song.
Thank you for the clarity.
I have to do that little.
I just need to know G. The.
Thank you for asking. Okay. So now, as we described, the pinnacle of our prayer service is the 18, the Shemone Esrei, the Amidah. That comes after the Shema. So where we are right now is the Shema and its two blessings. Page 89 or 80, whatever, where whatever city you have, where it says, bless Hashem, the Blessed One, right afterwards, you'll see in the middle, the subtitle is Blessings of the Shema. And that goes on for a little bit. Because there will be two blessings. And it basically talks about, the first blessing talks about how Hashem recreates our whole creation, our Bereshit, every single day. Every day is a, as a matter of fact, I'll show you what we say in the words. I'll tell you we say it, so we say it. On mine, it's on page 91, probably, again, the Ashkenaz is going to be a page or two earlier. It begins with the words at the beginning of the paragraph, he who illuminates the earth. So if you find that paragraph that begins with those words, you can follow along. This is above the line. He who illuminates the earth and those who dwell upon it with compassion, and in his goodness renews daily, perpetually, the work of creation, which means that Hashem, on a constant, like adding another quarter to the jukebox, keep that music going. You know, you're not even running out. Put another quarter in, whatever. Do they still have these things today? Anybody know what a jukebox is? Hashem keeps the world going, and it's not like Hashem put the batteries in. Okay, and it'll go when the batteries run out. I'll be back. No. Every day is a brand new day. Every day is a new commandment to the sun. Make sure you're out the moon. Make sure the stars. Make sure every weather pattern. Everything is renewed every single day. No different than some human beings. Talk about my wife. I talked a little bit about this at one point. Every day, she comes downstairs, opens the blinds, turns on whatever lights need to be before going to sleep. All the blinds get closed. Everything is cleaned up. You start fresh new day. You come down. The counters are clean. Clean. Mess it up. Do whatever you want. Make. Bake. Broil. Barbecue. Do whatever you want. Clean it up. Tomorrow is a brand new day. And that's the way we have to look at every day. Today is not a continuation of yesterday. Tomorrow is not a continuation of today. The sun comes up tomorrow because Hashem will tell it tomorrow, come up. But we add the word perpetually, because Hashem at the time of creation told the sun, you need to come up every day, but every day is a new reenactment of creation. Every day, I wake up. Every day, I eat. Every day, I do what I need to do. So every day is a new day. If I look, by the way, at every day as a new day, less likely I will get caught up in yesterday or tomorrow, because there's only today, there's only right now. Tomorrow, Hashem will have to tell the sun once again, and the moon and the clouds and blah, 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 make sure you do your work. So every day, so if things are not going well for me today, tomorrow's a new day. Tomorrow does not have to carry with it the difficulties of today. It can if I wanted to. It can if I link it to yesterday and I make one big day. I'll give you an example. Shabbos is one day. For the people who live in depression, I'm just giving you an example. People get depressed. Things aren't going well. People who live in depression, you know what? You should make Shabbos every day. Why not? If your depression continues from one day, from Sunday to Monday, so let Shabbos continue from Shabbos to Sunday to Monday also. Make 4-day Shabbos. Let it continue just like your depression. Obviously not. Why aren't you keeping Shabbos today? It's not Shabbos. It's Tuesday. So what, you were depressed on Shabbos. Why are you depressed today? You decide, did you have a new depression today? No, it's the same one. So why is it not Shabbos? The day is a new day. My depression is decided. You know, I've kept since previous days. It may sound, you know, comical a little bit, but there's truth to it. If a person really learns to live their life, and in the prayer, we'll see it towards the end of the prayer, we say every day, today, Sunday. We don't say Sunday. Today is the first day to the upcoming Shabbos. On Monday, we will say today is the second day to the upcoming Shabbos. And the third day to the upcoming Shabbos. It's a new day. And there's a different psalm that said every day, referencing the day of the week. Because Monday is Monday, and Tuesday is Tuesday, and Wednesday is Wednesday, and Shabbos is Shabbos. It becomes my fault if I blur everything. But we do that at times. There are people who do that. Okay? There are people who do that. So here in the Shema, this beginning of the Shema, is where we talk about, where we mention the creation, we talk about the sun. The second blessing of the Shema, which it's only one page. So again, depending on which book you have, you may have to turn two pages, but I'm on page 93. And it begins with a paragraph called With Eternal Love. God willing, one day we'll bring enough prayer books into the Chai Center office. And everybody will come live and everybody will have the same book. It'll be easier to reference the page numbers. And this one talks about basically our love for Torah. And then on page 95 in mine, or page probably 91, 93, is where we have the actual Shema after those two blessings. So the Shema is encircled by three blessings, two at the beginning and one afterwards. We'll get to the one afterwards after the Shema, but here is where we are at the Shema. At this point, I'm going to take questions and comments on what we've learned today. So again, today we're not focusing on the actual words of, but more the general outline of prayer, which is daily. Every single day, this is my daily outline for prayer. Yes, Tracy.
So this, what we were just talking about, is this normally what you would say if you were going to shul?
This is what, like, I say every day. Everything that I've spoken about today from the big blessings at the beginning, I say this entire book until right. Page...
right.
Like, but one
there are prayers that you say in the morning before you go to shul.
Some people say those morning blessings. Some people say them at shul. Some people say some of them in the morning at home, and the rest in shul. Some people, you know, But they're all said in the morning. All of this is part of my morning ritual. Getting me going for the day changes my day.
It's a lot.
Of course it's a lot. That's why I sent you a PDF on the WhatsApp chat. Right. I gave you those whole morning blessings in like one page.
But there's a lot of things that women don't say, correct?
That's correct. Technically, women do not have to daven. Most women, however, will daven shachris. Less will daven mincha, the afternoon service, and hardly any, if any, will daven ma'ariv. So there are major, of each of the segments that we're talking about, there are major components. So like all women will say, part of a few of the psalms of Pesukei Dezimra. You can ask my wife. My wife will come and say what she says. And of course, these blessings of the Shema and the Shemoneh Esrei, and one or two things afterwards. But everybody needs just to start small, take something, you know, work on it, review it, and you build like anything else, like going to the gym. Don't come the first day and pump too much iron or else your muscles, or you'll pull your muscles and you won't be able to come back for the next 3 weeks. Anyone else? Any other questions? Comments?
I'm just going to say, I remember my very first time years ago, I went to shul for chakras during the week and the rabbi said to me, don't do everything or you'll be sitting here until mincha tomorrow. He said, pick a couple psalms, say them, and just catch up where we are because you're going to be lost by the time you start. And he was right. You can be there for 5 hours.
Absolutely. So no point. 5 hours? 5 days. Well, 5 hours. You know, you get through all three.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I always marvel. Yom Kippur is one day, and the Yom Kippur machzer is probably as thick as the Siddur, maybe even a little thicker. And always every year, it's going to happen again this year. When I pull up my Yom Kippur machzer, when I prepare the prayers that lead the services, I go, wow, we're going to go through this whole thing in 26 hours. Blows me away. Okay, the parts, see every single page, but there's still a lot that does get skipped. There are others that say even more than I do. That's in that. There are Hasidic places that have a supplementary to the Yom Kippur Machzer. They say the Yom Kippur Machzer plus. Yeah, where we are, the village shul and whatever, and typical places like that, there's a nice break in the afternoon, 2.5, 3 hours, 4 hours. A nice break before you have to come back for the afternoon service. When I was in yeshiva, there were years, many years, where there was zero break. We finished musaf right into, there was no break, zero. So, each one to their own, each one that day. It's not the point. Point is, how long was your break? Oh, we had less of a break. We're a better minion. There's no competition in that. Each person prays the way they're supposed to pray. It takes you a little bit shorter, takes a little bit longer. The main thing is that you pray properly, not the length of time. So we're going to pick it up next week, God willing, on page, hopefully I'll have my Ashkenaz back. I'm on page 95, which is the Shema, which we've already talked a lot about. So we're going to go just very cursory. And then get you right into the Amidah, into the Shemoneh Esrei. And there we will talk a little bit more specifically about each of the 19 blessings of the Shemoneh Esrei. Any final questions or comments?
Not about this, but I have a question once we finish.
Okay, so let me just close. Thank you, everyone, for joining this evening. Great to see everyone. We're back here tomorrow night with a spiritual awakening. God willing, live. I'll make sure I get back earlier, and hopefully I'll bring some refreshments to the office tomorrow. Hopefully, I think more people like the sushi platter than the pizza, but whichever is available. And on that note, I wish you all a great evening. Thank you so much. Great to see everyone. And now I'm going to stick around a little bit and we'll schmooze.